I'd like to look at a verse in Galatians to start off. I just thank the Lord for His goodness and mercy to us today and for His help. Galatians, the 6th chapter, and the 7th verse, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Thinking about these verses, that God is not mocked. He's the things that this word mocked means ridiculed. It's kind of a derogatory from the mouth against. And it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." And I think we find that out in life many times. We reap the law of sowing and reaping. We reap the things that we sow, whether it be evil things or whether it be good things. If we sow good things, we reap good things. If we sow evil things, we reap corruption, here it says. I want to go now to 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter. And at verse 1 it says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and He did hear my voice out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears." You know, it's wonderful how the Lord blessed David with all that came against him, all of his enemies, and the hand of Saul. David didn't do anything to cause Saul to hate him and despise him and want to kill him. David was innocent. And he said he delivered him out of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. The Lord looked down in mercy on David, and he helped David. There was some close calls. There was some times when Saul was in close proximity. There was some very close places that David found himself in. But God still had His hand upon David's life, and He blessed him, and He looked over him, and He helped him. I want to read now in verse 20. It says, "He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself savory. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. I was thinking, even David, you remember when he, Abigail's husband, Nabal, disrespected David. David had done him, David's men had done Nabal good. They had been a service to him. They hadn't done him any evil. And yet Nabal, and then David sent his men, was going down with his men, and the Lord, through Abigail, prevented David from shedding blood. The Lord, I believe the Lord had his hand in that. Abigail entreated David. She came out to meet him, and David was thankful. He thanked the Lord for that. She turned his mind and turned his heart, and we know not too long after that that Nabal died. The Lord's judgment was against Nabal, but the Lord blessed David to do the right thing and protected him and had his hand upon him. And these verses here, he says, with the merciful... This is speaking to, with the merciful, thou, God, will show thyself merciful. To people that are merciful, God shows himself merciful to them. With the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory. So we recognize that God, it comes back, the attitudes of our heart, our mind, our spirit come back to us in life. We do reap what we sow. So it's very important for us to have a merciful attitude, a merciful spirit, a pure heart, kindness, just because those things all come back to us. And he mentions here, I want to turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew 7, I'd like to start reading at the first verse. He says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Now that's quite a statement. That ought to give us all pause. And he goes on, he says, and with what measure ye meet, In other words, that you mete out to other people, it shall be measured to you again. And he says, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And that you be not, judge not, that you be not judged. It's like the Lord is saying, don't be overly critical or overbearing or over rigid with our assessments. In other words, be merciful to people. When we see something that's amiss, when we see something that's wrong, we want to pray for them and ask God to bless and to help. It doesn't help to have a harsh, critical attitude, because that same measure will come back to us someday, sometime. But if we're merciful, if we're kind, if we're considerate, if we're long-suffering and we're patient, the Lord will show Himself that way to us. And I want the Lord to be that way to me. Because I need the Lord's mercy. I need the Lord's help. But He expects me to be that way to others in order for me to receive that from Him. And it does have a way, it may take time, but it does have a way of coming back into our hearts and into our lives. The Lord has a way of ironing out those wrinkles, you might say, that we might have. Sometimes it takes a little heat and a little press, but the Lord has a way of ironing out our wrinkles that sometimes we don't see within ourselves. But the Lord sees them, and the Lord can help us to see Him. And sometimes it's the iron that helps us to recognize we had a wrinkle. So we want to be kind. We want to be compassionate. We want to be considerate and helpful, beneficial to people, to humanity. This scripture is greatly, this thought is greatly portrayed in the book of Esther. I want to turn to Esther, the 7th chapter. Esther, the 7th chapter, in the first verse, it says, so the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee, and what is thy request? And it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he and where is he that does presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, "The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman." Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. Oh, the words that day that fell from Esther's lips in the presence of the king, in the presence of Haman. Haman had done some things behind the king's back. He had done some things that the king was not aware of. In verse 7 it says, "And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden." The king was very troubled. He said, "And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, 'Will he force the queen also before me in the house?' As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, 'Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman.' Then the king said, 'Hang him thereon.' So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified." You know, it turned out to be a time of, there was a time of fear for the Jews. They feared for their lives, and the king gave them permission to defend themselves against attacks, and it became a holiday to them. But this was a very critical moment and a critical, pivotal time in the history of the Jews. And the Lord, through His mercy, He spared them. But Haman came to the point where he reaped what he had sown. It mentions that Mordecai didn't respect Haman. I don't know if that was part of why he hated the Jewish people. I'm not for sure why. But it just seemed like he had a vindictive hatred towards the Jewish people and Mordecai, and he built this gallows for Mordecai, and Haman was hung on the gallows that he had caused to be built. You think Haman probably had second thoughts of his error, his mistakes, before he died? Not only did Haman lose his life on the gallows, but 10 of his sons, his 10 sons, also lost their lives on that gallows as well. So the things in life that we, the judgments that we make, the perhaps the accusations or the, it comes back, it will come back to us later. I think about the wickedness that goes on in our world and our society. There comes a time where it's recompensed, where it comes back upon their own life. And so, Lord, help us today. Help us to walk humbly with God. Help us to be merciful. Help us to be helpful, beneficial, because we want those things to come back to us as well. There's another verse in Proverbs 26:27. It said, "Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will come back to him." Now, I believe this is referring to acts that are meant to get or catch or harm others. It said, "Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will come back upon him." One more scripture, Luke 6:36. This is similar to the verses that was read in Matthew. Luke 6:36. He says, "Be ye therefore merciful." Above, he talks about loving your enemies and do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. "Your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." You know, these are wonderful things that I know there's a history of incidents of things that people have spoken against God verbally, and there's been history given of a recompense, things that they had suffered and went through. So we want to be careful on our assessments, that we are being merciful and kind and generous. And I believe the Lord will help us. He'll be that way to us. There's a song that we sing. I've always love that song. It's the talks about reap, sowing and reaping. I love the melody of it. I'm not sure. Someone have that page number? I wanted to look at. Let's see. What is it? 393. Yeah, that's it. He says, "As is the sowing," in verse 3, "so is the reaping. Center the seed you carelessly cast, bringeth the harvest, bitter with anguish, sure will thy reaping be at the last." And then the last verse, he says, "Gentleness, kindness, purity, trueness, yield a rich fruitage never to cease. Sowing in meekness unto the Spirit bringeth eternal blessings." Eternal blessings and peace. And then the chorus talks about, "Soon you shall gather what you now scatter. Unto your life give diligent heed. What we are sowing surely is growing." You know, the thing about sowing is that we're doing it all the time. Whether we realize it or not. Every day is a sowing day. By our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes, our words. But if we sow kindness, if we sow patience, if we sow those good things, then we'll be able to reap the good things. Also in that Galatians, before that sixth chapter, he talks about walking in the flesh, walking in the Spirit, and kind of makes mention basically of the same thing, that if we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. But we can, this morning, with God's help, we can have the ability to sow good things into people's lives. We can sow respect, honor, kindness, patience. If we see something amiss, we don't have to be harsh or critical, or we don't have to just set them straight right away, you might say. We can pray for them. We can have that attitude of, Lord, I want them to succeed. I want them to be blessed. I want them to be helped. And that same, the Lord will bring those things back to us, because we do, we will reap what we sow. And I think it happens on a personal level. It probably happens on a national level as well. If we sow good things, we can reap good things. If we sow evil things, we will reap evil things. And there's another scripture that talks about it coming back like a whirlwind. It's almost like it's, you know, when you sow seed, it just, it comes back multiplied to us. It's not just like it, one seed was sown and that's all that. But when it comes back, it's multiplied. It's fourfold. It's a lot larger than what it was when it was sowed. So Lord, help us today to give heed and to be careful to sow good things. And I believe the Lord will bless and help us. And then he closed out. He said, be not weary in well-doing. Let's not be weary in doing what's right, doing what's good, doing what's wholesome. Let's not get weary of those things, but continue, because he said, in due season, in time, in the process of time, there comes a harvest back. And so we don't want to be weary. We don't want to give up. We want to hold on to what God has and do our best to be a blessing and a help to those around about us. We need each other to make heaven our home.